This is your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane and famous Exxon gasoline. The wake-up call is also brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday. Now your host, Rick Moore.
Welcome, 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 boys and girls. How goes it today? It is the first Sunday in the month of December, so ever closer to whatever holiday you celebrate over this month. Thank you for taking time to listen in and breaking free of your shopping or listening or watching anything related to the holiday time. While I'm thinking about it, there is some holiday activity going on in Nelson County today. My understanding is that the folks who could be and should be listening to 94.7 down in Lovingston at the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, as longtime listeners know, I have become quite attached to. Santa Claus will be visiting the dogs and cats and those who stop by with your children, and maybe as an adult, you're a big Santa fan. And I believe maybe Sarah can call up and tell me and talk to Sean for a minute. I believe that there's a parade also down Lovingston's main street. I'm not sure what time that exactly starts, but if any Lovingston folks want to call up and give that information to Sean, I'll be glad to pass it along. Sean McCord here producing today's show and answering the phone. Let me take a moment and tell you what today's program is all about. I was calling it Holiday Blues, and once I found my guest for today, was informed that it has a more proper name, seasonal affective disorder. So let me fire up everyone's microphone. Ladies first, Jenny Oliver, Executive Director for Mental Health America, the Charlottesville Albemarle branch. Is that the right term for that, Jenny?
That's the right term.
Jenny Oliver, Executive Director, Mental Health America, from Charlottesville Albemarle office, and Dr. David Moody, medical director at our own Region 10. David, how are you today?
I'm fine. It's great to be here, Rick.
And thank you very much for coming in today. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I think almost everyone knows one person or even a handful of people who are just not that excited about the holidays. And we're here to talk about why, what that may be all about. I guess let's start with something that's just a little bit basic. As I was thinking about it, seasonal affective disorder, or as I'm going to refer to it many times throughout the program, holiday blues, just having the two of you as guests, to me, makes it seem like it's a discussion about people suffering from some sort of mental illness. I have a woman here from Mental Health America. For people who have any sort of just a basic understanding of what Region 10 does, I think the number one sort of image that you have is about Region 10 helping people who have some sort of mental health problem. Is that what we are talking about today?
Yes and no. Sorry to be equivocal, but we all get sad. We all feel down and anxious from time to time, and we have a lot of those feelings at stressful points in our life, and obviously the holiday season for some people is pretty stressful. That's rather different than the thing that you were talking about earlier, which is seasonal affective disorder and other sorts of mental illnesses, and maybe David will talk a little bit more about that. But the reason Mental Health America used to be called Mental Health Association, and we changed our name to Mental Health America precisely because we wanted to talk about mental health and wellness, as opposed to concentrating all the time on illness. So one of the things about managing stressful times in our lives is about developing strategies and resiliences for dealing with those stresses. And that's kind of different than dealing with mental illness.
And I would certainly agree with Jenny about that. And in hearing those two, it actually brings to my mind the fact that the holiday blues that many of us might experience this time of year can be something very quite different from seasonal affective disorder, a more severe form of depression that, although an illness is quite treatable and certainly from which many people can and do recover. And I would echo that positivity that Jenny brings to bear.
Yeah, because that's one of the things to me is exactly what is the difference. And apparently there is one. I went into this thinking about people who were stressed during the holidays, who let that, change or certainly bring down their viewpoint of what is, at least according to advertising, is supposed to be a very happy time of life with jingling bells and lots of hugging that goes on and the smiles that come to your face from giving or receiving a gift. And I call Jenny to ask her to be a guest on the program and say, I'm talking about holiday blues. And she says, oh, you mean seasonal affective disorder. And I thought, oh, okay. So this has an official name to it. But the more that I do where I always do just enough research so I can ask inane questions and show my sort of street savvy, which is nothing, about the topic, it seems that they are two different things. And so as we go throughout the hour, for anyone who calls in, sends us an email, WNRNstudio, on the AOL instant message thing, 979-0919 for a phone call, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS if you're outside the local area. Let's help me and any listeners define what may be one question with two different answers, depending on what we're talking about. One of the things that came to mind was it's called seasonal affective disorder. It's sad. Oh, it's so sad. Doesn't the name somewhat ridicule the importance or severity of the illness?
I guess it depends on who's saying sad. I mean, one of the most interesting things I think David may know more about seasonal affective disorder is who it affects and where it affects them geographically. You know, it doesn't happen in the equator. It happens north of the equator and south of the equator, which tells us something about what's being affected here, that it's a depression. It's a significant depression. And there are some very good now research avenues to explore in trying to understand what it is about the lack of light that creates issues for us. And I think serotonin is one of the problems, and maybe David can say a little bit more about the more recent research on that. But it's a very serious condition for people, and if the acronym SAD, if we need to change that so that it's less funny, then maybe that's what we need to do, because it is quite a serious disorder.
Yeah, I think my comment about it would be that the potential difference between holiday blues and seasonal affective disorder is really a difference of degree. As I said, many people around the time of year might be a little down around some disappointments this time of year, which can be very different from someone who experiences a significantly depressed mood, difficulty even getting out of bed in the morning, difficulty concentrating on a book they're reading or a TV show that they're watching, difficulty having the energy or motivation to do things that they normally would do, the difficulty enjoying things that they normally enjoy, problems sleeping well at night, problems with sleeping too much, problems with losing one's appetite or eating too much. Those are all some significant, what we call biological symptoms of depression. And the seasonal affective disorder is actually a specific subtype of depression, as we diagnose it in psychiatry, that has very specific criteria about the time of year in which it occurs, the likelihood of not experiencing that during the summertime of the year, for example. So I would see a difference in severity between the disappointments related to those expectations, as you'd mentioned, Rick, this time of year, with people supposedly being happy and joyful, enjoying a healthy, functional Hallmark card kind of family situation, which doesn't exist for everyone, as opposed to having some of these significant symptoms of depression.
Does the expectation increase the degree of suffering?
It certainly can. And actually, I think that's an important point in terms of what people can do about regaining some control over this. One thing that we do have some control over in our lives is our expectations of things around us. And when people do expect too much of people or situations, they're more likely to be disappointed. If we become realistic and more thoughtful about what our expectations are, we can actually lower our own stress level in those situations.
I absolutely support that. I mean, that's one of the things that I'm keen to see us all developing in schools and in communities, is this idea of resilience, that we can take steps by ourselves to improve our mental health and our capacity to cope with stresses. We know a lot more now about stress and its impact, not just on our mental health, but also on our physical health. It has pretty serious consequences for some people, for their physical health also. So it's really important that we begin to manage our stress levels in a more positive way.
When the two of you talk about physical health, and David, you mentioned sleeping too much or too little, eating too much or too little. Is that what you're talking about? Are there other issues that can come up, other physical illnesses that can come up because of this?
In terms of other physical illnesses, there can be some increased susceptibility either to the perception of symptoms, so that if you have a relatively minor physical symptom, it might be magnified in your own view. Actually, the first thought I had when you brought that up was another way of asserting control is around one's physical activity. Exercise is a powerful tool. Activity level is a powerful tool in raising one's mood, preventing depression, recovering from depression when that occurs. I think many listeners might be familiar, if they've ever had any kind of physical exercise routine that they've gotten away from for any period of time, they feel the difference, not just physically, but mentally as well. That same return to physical activity can help one's mood as well.
All right, we are talking with Jenny Oliver, Executive Director at the local Charlottesville Albemarle office, Mental Health America, and Dr. David Moody, Medical Director at Region 10. Discussion today is, I guess it's a twist together of seasonal affective disorders and holiday blues, which is, I guess, more of the street name for it, but isn't the full name of what many are suffering from. 979-0919-1877 WNRN Rocks. If you have questions about these, are they diseases? Is that the proper name for them? What are we talking about here? Because one of my follow-ups to that is this curable or just treatable? So what is this?
I think it's quite a complex issue, really. The first thing to say is that we all feel sad, anxious, and blue at times in our life. It isn't an illness. It isn't a disease. It's a response to stresses in our lives, and we can manage those. That's rather different than the kind of symptoms that David described earlier when he was talking about depression. So I think it's a matter of degree, and it's a matter of whether you can do things in your environment which helps you feel much better without the need for medical intervention. And that would be a distinction I'd want to make. The other point I'd like to make is that there are other people who have particular stresses at this time of year. For example, people who've just lost somebody, people who have problematic families, people who have alcohol issues or drug-related issues, people who may be family members or loved ones who've lost somebody to suicide. This is a very difficult time of year for those folks too. So there's a kind of range of things that we need to talk about when we're using this rag bag of a name, holiday blues.
Rag bag. I don't know. That seems to fit me and this program so well.
It's probably an English term. I apologize.
I was wondering where that accent came from. I thought maybe you were from South Dakota.
No, North Carolina.
We sort of skimmed over it when it was mentioned because you said nowhere near the equator. What does that have to do with seasonal blues, seasonal disorders?
Well, Jenny did mention earlier that the effect of light and the day-night cycle has been quite important. And what happens over the wintertime, as we all know, the days get shorter, the nights get longer. And aside from how that just affects, oh, I have to turn my lights on driving home from work now, it goes way beyond that. Our brain actually responds to the amount of light to which we're exposed during the day. And there's cyclical changes that the brain goes through, seasonal changes itself. And those can actually impact our mood and other things as well. Involves melatonin. People might have heard about that used for this kind of problem or even jet lag as a way of trying to address those daily rhythms in our brain. That's certainly an important part. And people who live in northern latitudes experience a greater degree of change in the day-night cycle over the course of the year. So their nights are much longer. Of course, above the Arctic Circle, they become 6 months long, which is quite extraordinary. It was interesting. I noticed a study where they looked at native Icelanders and Icelandic descendants who had immigrated to parts of Canada and studied the prevalence of seasonal affective disorder compared to other people on the northeast coast of North America. And they had a lower incidence of seasonal affective disorder. So, of course, one has to wonder what kind of genetic advantage developed in those people in order to cope with living in those latitudes.
All right. We are taking phone calls today, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Jenny Oliver here from Mental Health America, the Charlottesville Albemarle office. Dr. David Moody, Region 10 Medical Director. We'd love to get your calls, questions, comments. Please remember, however, this is not the emergency phone number, although we do have it available for anybody who needs it today. And Sean hands me a note right now. So we have a call from Richmond. Hi, caller. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
I've got a problem with this time of year, the holiday season. Pretty depressing for me. Suicidal tendencies and stuff like that. And it's just the way the economy is right now. I'm a wildfire carver, and things are not going too well right now. Where over the past years, they've done a lot well. Right now, it's kind of slow, and health issues, I'm not going into all that, but I'm splitting some firewood too, and this year I just split for myself, burn wood stove.
Hey, Doug, why don't you hang on just a second and let David and Jenny chat with you, okay?
You want me to hang up or?
No, you can stay on the line for a second, but give them a moment to talk to you, all right?
Okay.
It's always important to know that help is available, and it's really good that you reached out and called us here today because that's definitely the first step in feeling better and taking some charge over what you're going through. I think that you're calling us from Richmond. I know that here in Charlottesville, the number at Region 10 could be of help to you. That number is 434-972-9191. 1-800. If you call there, then someone could certainly get back to you. There may certainly be some helplines available in the Richmond area. I'm afraid I don't know those off the top of my head. So certainly reaching out for help is the first step. And you also raise a very interesting point. Our country is going through some tough economic times. And that can certainly be, financial stresses can certainly be one of the stresses that will impact people negatively in terms of their mood this time of year or throughout the coming year, depending on how things go in our country. So do reach out for that help. It's available. I know that some kinds of occupations are more sensitive to the economic downturn, and you'd mentioned that your wood carving business could possibly be one of those. However, people will need wood to heat their homes, and the fact that you do split wood would be something maybe better for you to turn to.
Just really to repeat what David's just said to you, which is well done for calling in, and I'm really sorry you're having such a hard time. But the thing to bear in mind is that if you get some support from maybe a friend, maybe somebody else, and you also seek some help, maybe some medication and something called talking therapy or psychotherapy, that will be very, very helpful. I'm sorry I don't have Richmond numbers with me, but if, as David said, you can call the Region 10 number and they will be able to put you in touch with folk in Richmond. They'll also be able to give you the telephone number of a national helpline who are there to help people who are having the kind of suicidal thoughts that you've just been talking about. So please call and make sure that you get in touch with those two numbers.
And Doug, please, you mentioned the phrase suicidal tendencies. To me, and I am nowhere near the expert on this, that means hang up from here and call them now. That doesn't mean listen to the rest of the hour and then decide what to do, wait and see if you feel better at the end of the day. When you mention that, that is take care of it now. 434-972-1800, 1-800. 434-972-1800. I appreciate you listening to the first 20 minutes. Give up the last 40 minutes and make that call, all right?
All right, thank you. I appreciate your help.
Good luck to you.
All right, 979-0919. Again, we'd love to get your calls, your comments, your questions. we can do the best we can for everything with Dr. David Moody, Region 10 Medical Director, with Jenny Oliver, Executive Director at the Mental Health America local office. But emergency situations, this is not the place to call for an emergency situation. Maybe you know someone else. Maybe it's yourself. 434-972-1800. All right. Let me take a break since I need one after that. 11:22 on the wake-up call. Markets of Tiger Fuel forecast for Central Virginia and the Shenandoah Valley. Mostly sunny today with a lot of wind, highs 35, a little warmer in Richmond. Clear tonight, lows 15 to 20. Mostly sunny tomorrow, highs 35 to 40, and warmer in the Lynchburg and Richmond area. Right now, it is nice and sunny across the listening area with a nice chill wind blowing. 33 in the valley, 32 in Lynchburg, 39 in Richmond, 33 in Charlottesville.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by The Hook and by the Markets of Tiger Fuel, a refreshing pause on your journey to anywhere with locations all over town. Now back to your host, Rick Moore.
And since it's chilly, let's thank the folks at Blue Ridge Mountain Sports for helping keep us warm and having fun in the outdoors this winter. Blue Ridge has the gear for you, whether your outdoor adventure is winter running, hiking, climbing, or snowshoeing. You'll find Blue Ridge Mountain Sports in the Barracks Road Shopping Center here in Charlottesville, in the Mountain Inn at Wintergreen, or online, brms.com. All right, back in action here. Phone lines open, 979-0919, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. Online, WNRN-STUDIO at the AOL Instant Message Board. All right, I think I got everybody back in action here. Jenny Oliver and Dr. David Moody. Basic question, what's the percentage of people who are suffering? And again, are we breaking up seasonal affective disorder from holiday blues when we talk about this?
I think off the top of my head, I would say that the holiday blues would be more common. It's, as I said, not as severe. Something I would wager to think that the vast majority of us might experience at one moment or another this time of the year. In terms of more serious depression, the incidence of that can be as high as 20% in the general population. So it's significant out there. Again, some people might experience a degree of depression that is only moderate, might respond even just to counseling or talk therapy. Other people might have a more severe form that would benefit from the use of medications.
About 500,000 people in America suffer from SAD, seasonal affective disorder, every year. And as David says, the numbers of people with stresses and strains around about this time is considerably more. But
once you suffer from this, are you always going to suffer from this unless you do something of the curable or treatable aspect? I mean, and if this is me and I am suffering from seasonal affective disorder and I don't really talk to anybody about it, I don't take any medication, I don't have any, I think Jenny used the term, talk therapy, can I count on having it for the rest of my life at this time of year?
I think the good news about all affective disorders is that they're not as persistent and steady over time as maybe some other mental disorders that we're used to dealing with. So my answer to you, if you were sitting in my office, would be that even without any kind of treatment, there'd be a good chance that even within by 6 months from now, you would be feeling better, if not sooner, just as a natural course of the condition itself. It is true, though, that treatment, whether talk treatment or medication, could certainly accelerate that improvement, get you out of that hole of depression sooner.
Also doing the sorts of things that we've been talking about, really, which is to try and help yourself by developing some strategies so that you're more resilient. Very simple things, perhaps not drinking quite so much if you're somebody who drinks alcohol.
Are you making a comment?
Not at all.
Have you been at one of my Christmas parties?
No, but I wish I had.
Ricky sound defensive.
All right, let's move on with the conversation.
Getting the physical exercise, maybe just going out 3 times a week in the bright lights like today would be so much more helpful for people. Making sure that you're not in situations where you know you're going to be under stress or pressure, difficult family situations, parties where there's going to be a lot of booze, like your party, Rick. making sure that you eat well, that you get 3 decent meals a day, making sure that you keep yourself hydrated, basically just taking care of yourself and having realistic expectations about what you might expect out of, say, the holiday season, for example. Those are all important things for keeping us mentally healthy.
Jenny, you mentioned staying away from stressful family time for which I would assume, is that something for everyone, or is that for someone who has had some sort of flashpoint, and that's sort of become a word in my language in the last 4 or 5 months, something that happened that you have mentally tied to the holiday season or to one person that has made this a negative time of year? It has nothing to do with the amount of light that you're getting, the amount of food or, nutritional food that you eat or alcohol that you drink, but it is strictly an emotional thing. How do you differentiate between the two, and what do you do about that?
Well, there are several things. The first one is that there are some people who have very severe and persistent mental illnesses for whom high expressed emotion in families, or very stressful families, is really quite damaging. And so we either have to work with the family or the person has to find some other way of living where they're not involved in a high expressed emotion family situation. So that's very different than, for example, if I've got a problem with an eating disorder and I'm either overweight or I'm anorexic and I go to the family Christmas party and somebody says to me, you need to eat more, or boy, you're eating too much, which is really a very unhelpful thing to say to people who've got an eating disorder. And I guess the thing for that is to have a family friend at that function who can help be your supporter with people who are pretty insensitive. The same thing would go, I'm sorry to be back to the issue about alcohol, but alcohol plays such a big role over the holiday season and is also very important in co-occurring disorders. But if you're going to family parties and you know that there's, and you're somebody who has some issues with alcohol and you know there are going to be a lot of pressures for you to be a good old boy and have a couple of shots of whiskey, you might want to have a family friend at that party who can help you. So it's really knowing what your triggers are, knowing what your issues are, and making sure that you plan ahead to have some supports in place for that.
Yeah, and I would tag along with that. I'd certainly agree with that. Part of knowing those triggers, I think, is being kind to yourself and yet honest with yourself. What things are difficult, not in a judgmental, critical way, but just in a way of being smart about what's healthy for you. And that can so arm people for situations. So when you're in a situation, whether it's a party where there's stresses, or if it's a time of year where you're remembering things that are painful from the past, then knowing, being aware of those can only help arm you and equip you for that resilience and that ability to deal with that stress so that it doesn't get the best of you.
All right, 11:31 here on the Sunday morning wake-up calls. We talk about, I guess we're really talking about two issues that are tied together. I started out with holiday blues, people who just do not enjoy this time of year, and what makes that happen and how to do something about it, both personally and if it's someone else in your who's you're close to. And I've learned that it's also seasonal affective disorder, which is something that is actually of a greater, I don't know if greater problem is the word, but of a greater pain that needs to be discussed. Dr. David Moody here from Region 10, Jenny Oliver from Mental Health America. 979-0919. If you want to make a call, dial us up, ask your question, make your comment. Toll free if you are further out in the area, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. You don't have to come across the air if you're concerned about your name or your voice. Sean will be glad to write down your question and we can present that. WNRN Studio, if you just want to send it across the instant message area. Let me take a moment and thank Blue Ridge Graphics for supporting us today. Businesses like this that allow us to be on the air and have these discussions. Blue Ridge Graphics can be found at Meade Avenue and East High Street, serving Charlottesville with custom t-shirts, sportswear, and professional graphic design since 1979. That's Blue Ridge Graphics, 296-9746, and at brgtshirts.com. All right, by the way, we talked at the start of the hour. Santa Claus will be at the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center, shortly after 1 o'clock, I believe. And the parade, the Lovingston Parade, begins at 3 o'clock, and I'm almost positive that goes down right at Lovingston's Main Street, drive down 29. If you're near the university area, it's not even 30 minutes. We are talking about Nelson County and their SPCA, not even 30 minutes from the university, 29-250 area. Drive down to the parade, take your kids, get to the Lovingston stoplight where the Food Lion is, and turn left. All right, back to the discussion at hand. Jenny, you were talking about avoiding these stressful situations with family at the party, and I'm curious, how do you avoid that family member or those groups in the family and still have what many would say you need to be a joyful holiday period?
Well, Rick, you've just talked about one of the things that people can do to have a good holiday season, and that
go
is...
Go see the dogs and cats?
Well, to help and volunteer with other folks. You know, one of the most important things for people who might be a bit isolated, one of the things that increases their social network is volunteering. So you get two for the price of one. You get to meet more people who can be your friends. And you get to feel good about involving yourself in an activity which is helpful to other people. The other thing is you mentioned an event, a holiday event. People who are stuck in their rooms, there are lots and lots of free holiday events around. So there's a couple of things that you've already mentioned. Volunteering, meeting more folks, and going to inexpensive holiday events that can help people feel better.
I would echo that. I was sitting here realizing too that the holiday season is filled with traditions that people follow. And if there's certain traditions that are not pleasant for someone, you could make your own. You actually have the freedom and the power to create a tradition for yourself or your new family or your circle of friends who are supportive, who are healthy for you. And that can be your new source of joy and feeling of belonging during this time of year.
You know, when I was first year at UVA, my first year roommate took lithium, and I was told, probably by him, I guess, that this was some medication because he had depression and this was to replace the sunlight that he did not get. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit more about that, because it seems like we've spent a fair amount of time discussing, as we do talk about seasonal affective disorders and holiday blues, about getting out, about eating better, about exercising, about avoiding the people and the activities that get you into these depressed situations. But talk a little bit about the medication and the chemical aspect of what can be done. For, you know, I don't want to go out. I don't want to see these people. I don't think that I can find myself in a situation that allows me to avoid them, to be joyful. You know, I don't have anything that makes me want to volunteer.
Okay, sure. I'd be happy to speak to that. You mentioned your roommate who took lithium. That's certainly one of the oldest and most tried and proven mood stabilizing medications that we can use for mood disorders, particularly that come and go with some regularity in someone's life, either a depression that will come and go or a depression that may follow on the heels of an elevated state that we call mania. Mood stabilizers can be very helpful for that. There are other mood stabilizers as well. There's an anticonvulsant medicine that psychiatry has been using for a while named Depakote. There is another anticonvulsant relatively newer on the scene named Lamictal. There are lots of options in terms of medications for that.
What is the last two you mentioned? What do they have to do with seasonal affective disorder?
They are also mood stabilizers that can be used. Again, if a seasonal affective disorder is one that comes back to occur in someone's life every winter this time of year, then a mood stabilizer can actually help to blunt or minimize the impact of that.
Okay. I didn't mean to stop you from continuing, but that caught my attention.
Sure. And then for depression itself, there's certainly a myriad choice of antidepressant medications that have been quite useful. I think it's important that people know that medicines that we've used in psychiatry in years past were certainly effective, but were more famous for side effects. There are certainly newer medications that have been developed in the last decade or so that are every bit as effective, if not more so, and less likely to have side effects. I wish I could say that there is a medicine around that has no side effects, but that's just not the case. All medicines do. But certainly the newer ones have far fewer, much better tolerated by people. And these medications are available by any physician. And then psychiatrists then are physicians who have specialized in the treatment of mental disorders who may have more experience with differentiating specific medicines for specific conditions. But a family doctor, a general practitioner could certainly be a resource, particularly if someone might feel a little skittish about seeing a psychiatrist to begin with. Their general doctor could certainly refer them on to a psychiatrist for consultation if it were a complicated case.
Oh, I don't want to add to the medication. I think that just about sums it up. I would respond, though, to what you just said, Rick, about I'm somebody who's in a room. I don't want to go and take care of myself, and I don't want to go be a volunteer or whatever. I would just say to folks, well, there are some other options available. We're very lucky in Charlottesville to have a range of peer support groups, consumer-led support groups, that folks find helpful, from Depressive Alliance to a peer resource center to AA to NA. All of those are services that are available that are peer-run and are proving to be very helpful to people.
11:40 here on the wake-up call as we talk about depression, I guess, a little bit. We're mm-hmm. talking about holiday blues. We are talking about seasonal affective disorder. Is that the more proper name? Is that the we've already, I guess, in the first part of the hour, which you can listen to on www.cvillepodcast.com later this afternoon, hopefully. And as you explained earlier, but for those who haven't been listening the whole time, that is the more, I guess that's the deeper facet of holiday blues, correct?
Correct. There's actually a diagnosis in psychiatry called major depressive episode, and one of the subtypes of that diagnosis would be a seasonal pattern. As I said, there's specific criteria for that. But any time of year, anyone who might be susceptible to depression could experience the major depressive episode with those symptoms I'd mentioned earlier, problems with sleep, appetite, energy level, concentration, feelings of worthlessness, even suicidal thoughts. I think sometimes, too, it's important to realize about suicidality that people may have thoughts of that without ever having the intent to hurt themselves. But if the pain is severe enough, people actually feel desperate enough, they actually, I think people realize, don't want to die, but they want to be free of the pain. And that's really the root of suicide. It's not really the desire to die so much as just to be free of this tremendous oppressive feeling of depression. Fortunately, as I said, it's quite treatable. Depression is very treatable, and there is help available.
All right, 11:42 on the wake-up call as we talk about seasonal affective disorder and the holiday blues with Jenny Oliver. She's the executive director at the Charlottesville Albemarle Office of Mental Health America, and Dr. David Moody. He's the medical director at Region 10.
You're listening to the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call, brought to you by the Markins of Tiger Fuel and by The Hook, an innovative weekly on newsstands every Thursday. Now here's Rick with what you can find in this week's Hook.
A year after two incidents, including a wheelchair-bound citizen being hit by a police cruiser in a city crosswalk, with the citizen being ticketed, have the streets of Charlottesville gotten any safer for pedestrians? The students of 90-year-old Boots Mead won't let him quit and have put nearly $1 million into an endowment encouraging other UVA professors to be more like him. Plus, Tiffany's restaurant gets a visit from The Hook's food folks. Now you can read the review. The Hook, rated PG. And let's thank 45Fix.com for their support. If you have a home improvement project, there's another way to find a contractor. It's 45Fix.com. From remodeling to repair projects, immediate no-obligation estimates are available anytime. That's 45Fix.com, the number 4, the number 5, and the word fix.com. All right, back in action with David Moody and Jenny Oliver with our topic for the day. Feel free to dial in, ask your question, make your comment. WNRN Studio is the online place to go. 979-0919, the local phone number, 1-877-WNRN-ROCKS. toll free for those who need that. All right, here's a question that we got. How to determine between those having depression due to lack of light and those suffering from negative connections the holiday time? How do we do that?
Well, it's both a matter of degree and a matter of time. I think you wouldn't say that somebody had seasonal affective disorder unless they'd had experienced the same thing, I think, over, is it 3 years, David, or 2 years?
2 years.
Two years. So you'd be looking for a continuation of this over just more than one episode, to call it SAD. And you can, of course, with SAD have relatively mild symptoms and then more serious symptoms. So it's both a matter of degree and time.
And I think also the question is kind of a mixed question between what causes this and how to fix it. Certainly people that have seasonal affective disorder have benefited from light therapy, which is really exposing oneself to several hours of bright full-spectrum light on a daily basis as a way of kind of fooling the brain back into thinking that the days are longer and getting people out of that sort of biological vulnerability during the wintertime. And actually, I think people can just Google the term light therapy, and there are a whole host of resources for light boxes, which do not require prescription and are generally safe to use. If one is aware enough of the situational stressors in one's life, one could maybe connect the dots between what is stressful on me right now and why am I feeling this way. Or one may simply try to use something to feel better, such as a light box or some of the other techniques that Jenny referred to earlier about managing one's stress level.
You know, when I was doing my homework for this week's show, I was surprised to discover that people can suffer from seasonal affective disorder in the summertime, which I found odd because so much of the commentary, online and even today during the hour, has been about the need for light. And, well, in the summertime, how was that possible?
Well, the brain is a very complex organ, and we're still learning a great deal about it. I think the way to answer your question is that light is really just one of the factors. There are a whole host of factors. There are genetic vulnerabilities to affective illness. People might be aware of, or I would encourage them to talk in their family if so inclined, who in the family has had a history of depression, who has struggled with this before, maybe who in the family's had a history of alcoholism that maybe was masking a depression. There are lots of those kinds of questions. And again, getting that information for oneself is a way of arming oneself for better self-care, knowing what's going to be healthy for me. If I'm vulnerable to this because it's running my family, that's good to know.
There are other factors. I mean, there is a tremendous gender bias in that more women than men suffer from SAD.
How about racial? Is there a racial bias? Age bias?
No, onset usually tends to be in the earlier years, so it'd be kind of start somewhere between 18 and 30 years. So it's not something that you would probably get in older age unless you already suffered from it. There is a gender bias. I think the whole issue of race and mental illness is a huge big issue because, for example, in the African American community, there are huge barriers to getting into treatment, getting access to treatment and being in treatment, and they're very significant, so that a lot of people perhaps self-medicate in other ways in the African-American community. But that's a huge, big issue, which is a topic for another program, I would have thought. Thank you.
Does the economic
yes.
bias, that sort of is tied to the racial bias? Or not, because we've mentioned nutrition, we've mentioned alcohol, And whether that's fair or not, I think that many people would say, well, the lower economic status that you have, the more likely you are to eat poorly. And although I would say that that's incorrect, I think many people would say, oh, you're more likely to drink. Is there any economic bias that we're aware of?
Well, I would say there certainly can be. Certainly poverty is a significant psychological stressor. But I could easily say that extremely wealthy people could experience a kind of psychological stress from their wealth if it begins to take away from the quality of interpersonal relationships in their lives.
That's
as well.
That's just family issues.
Pardon?
You have more problems with your family the wealthier you are.
Well, maybe.
Poverty is certainly an issue, and it's actually one of the issues that has come up this holiday season in terms of a piece of research that the American Psychological Association did specifically on this issue, what's going on now when we've got this terrible economic downturn. And unsurprisingly, the numbers of people feeling very stressed, particularly women, in the holiday season have risen this year in comparison to previous years. So it's clearly an issue. In terms of your question about race, it's a very complicated issue, and we don't really have time to deal with it just now. But what I would say is that you can look to a couple of pieces of research which would indicate that culture is terribly important in how we manifest mental illness and how we deal with it. For example, first-generation Latino immigrants to this country, on the whole, stay pretty mentally healthy. When you get to second- and third-generation Latino populations, who presumably become somewhat acculturated to the American culture, and it's not just obviously in America, it's most Western industrial countries that this happens to, the incidence of things to do with mental illness increases. So there's some interesting thoughts there in terms of what it is we need to learn about the cultural dominance for mental illness.
Yeah, I was raising my hand to say the same thing. The cultural factors as relate to race, I think, are quite predominant. I'm not aware of a significant degree of literature attesting to any kind of brain functional differences among races in that regard. It's really, I think, a cultural thing. The willingness within the culture to either recognize or seek help for mental health issues, which varies widely. The influence of the spiritual community in various cultures and its effect on the likelihood or not of seeking help is also a big factor.
There's a caller on the line. So real quick, somebody mentioned the word, you know, or mentioned checking with your family. Is there a genetic connection?
Yeah, as I said earlier, I think being aware of any family history of problems in your own family is a powerful piece of information in terms of knowing your own susceptibility. It can run in families. Is one automatically doomed to depression if someone in your family was depressed? Not necessarily. It's a risk factor. It's just something to factor into the equation.
All right, we are talking with Dr. David Moody from Region 10. He's the medical director there. Jenny Oliver, she's the executive director at Mental Health America, the Charlottesville Albemarle office. Seasonal affective disorders and the lesser lesser dangerous holiday blues. And let's see, we have a call from Keswick. Hi, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. Question or comment?
I just wanted to make a comment that I think people that either experience depression or anxiety to the point where whether or not they take medication, compassion is a huge virtue in all of this. And I've seen a lot of prejudice. People who don't take medication, and when they find out that someone is taking medication, even if they're functioning very well, it's really painful to see the kind of derogatory attitude and comment that is made. So on the other coin, and when you offer someone a lot of compassion who's going through things, because there's a fine line between depression and being upset, like if someone has lost someone, or had, you know, a divorce or anything like that, Even though you might not get an immediate reward from spending time with that person or reaching out to them, they do appreciate it, because I've been on both sides of this. And hopefully the public as a whole will become a little more tolerant, a little more understanding. And the irony of it is a lot of the people that, you know, will make derogatory innuendos towards someone that's seeking, you know, medical, you know, having to take medication and what have you, they're drinkers and smokers, so it just doesn't make sense, you know. But I'm enjoying your program. I hope a lot of people would reach out and seek help if they, you know, have this type of thing, and also that the pride wouldn't get in the way to the point where they would avoid getting around, you know, support and what have you. I know my friends have been, you know, meant the world to me when I've gone through, and on the other side, it's been very rewarding.
All right, you know, you're getting virtual slaps on the back here from the guests, so let me hang up and let them let them take your comment a little further. Thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a great season.
I want to say thank you very much for raising this whole issue about discrimination and stigma in mental health. It's one of the major barriers to people seeking care and treatment. The fear of stigma and discrimination plays a major part in people not getting access to either diagnosis and then treatment. So your comments about the impact of stigma and discrimination on people are so important. Your comments about your friends and the fact that you had good listening ears, again, so very important for people who are feeling isolated to have somebody around who can be sympathetic, empathetic, and really listen very closely. So thank you so much for your comment. They're very important.
All right, we are down to just a few minutes left in the program. I see that there's a call coming in. Let me remind you that at noon, Drew Thompson's going to be here for Les Temps Purdue, Best of 80s and 90s Alternative. He won't play any Milli Vanilli, Bob Seger, or Cher, but you will hear The Cure, Kate Bush, and Wall of Voodoo. And requests, always welcome. Les Temps Purdue, brought to you in part by Plan 9 Music. And you are listening to WNRN Charlottesville and WNRS FM Sweetbriar Amherst Lynchburg, just in case you didn't know that. And we only have 3 minutes left, but we have Mike from Charlottesville who suffers from seasonal affective disorder. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
I'm doing well.
Just wanted to make a couple comments on it. This year has been, I've known for probably about 18 years that I had it. And in the past have been able to treat it most of the time by just, you know, being more physically active, you know, being aware that it's something that happens at a certain time of the year. I know this year it's been really bad just because of the economic stuff that's going on. And, you know, so even with the knowledge of it, this year's just been sort of hard. I did notice, again, like a few years ago, we had a summer that was really rainy. You know, it rained almost every other day. And those symptoms came back, and it's just definitely a function of how much light your brain gets. I mean, I'm aware of that. But I think a lot of people, you know, myself, this year's been just particularly hard because of the, you know, the economic stress and everything. I work, and my work is pretty much seasonal. It kind of goes, piddles out in the wintertime. And so, you know, this year I can see, you know, a lot of people just being bummed out, and I know it's a pretty big struggle for me.
Hey, Mike, do your best. Thanks for listening, and don't forget, there's that number if you need it, 434-972-1800.
That's right.
All right, Mike.
That's
All right, we have like a minute and a half left, and I think we did this briefly throughout the hour. What can family and friends do to help somebody who is suffering?
What I would say about that, and in recognition of the two great callers we just had, is that these are people that get these conditions, and the people that called are not their conditions. And they've been smart about how to regain their own sense of personhood in spite of what challenges they were faced with. And I applaud them for their efforts and for calling in and sharing. I think it's wonderful for folks to hear that.
And just following on from that, family and friends can do what those folks have been talking about, provide compassion and a listening ear.
All right. Thank you so much, Jenny Oliver, Executive Director of Mental Health America, Charlottesville Albemarle Office, Dr. David Moody, Region 10 Medical Director, as we've been talking about holiday blues and the seasonal affective disorder. An important program to catch on the podcast, if you did not hear the hour, www.cvillepodcast.com. And 972-1800, if you feel like you need to make the call, please do so, 434-972-1800. Don't forget, go down to the Almost Home Pet Adoption Center if you want to see Santa today, walk some dogs, check out the cats, or the Lovingston Parade on Main Street at 3 p.m. We'll be here next week, although I don't know what in the world we'll be talking about yet.
This has been your Sunday morning wake-up call on WNRN. The wake-up call is brought to you by The Hook, an innovative weekly from the people who really know the news on Newsstands Thursday, and by Tiger Fuel, serving the Charlottesville area with home heating oil and propane, Exxon gasoline, and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, staff, or board of WNRN. You can contact Rick at abstractme@AOL.com or at wakeupcall@WNRN.org. The wake-up call is produced by Sean McCord. Tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 for the wake-up call, only on WNRN.